I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. In the black, in the chair in front of you, it's on page 643. Page 643. Proverbs begins, Proverbs chapter 4 there. Proverbs begins by saying the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. And I invite you also to grab your outline from your bulletin. And if you didn't get an outline, it's right there at the top there. But at the beginning of the outline, it says, what decision are you facing for which you need wisdom? And it gives you two blanks. There's pencils in every chair today, so you should be for lack of a pencil. What decisions are you facing for which you need this week? And then this year in 2023. Just take half a minute. First thing comes to your mind. What do you need wisdom for this week? This year. And if you have an outline, be thinking of one. Okay? Thinking, what do I need to make a decision about this week that I need wisdom for this year? I'm going to read from Proverbs 4, beginning with verse 3. And we're going to consider this morning, walk with the wise and enjoy the greater light in 2023. Walk with the wise and enjoy greater light in 2023. And begin reading with chapter 4, verse 3. Let's hear God's word. When I was a son to my father, Solomon talking, who was his dad? David. Okay? When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live, acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will guard you. Love her. And she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. And with all you're acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. And then skipping down to verse 14. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it, don't pass by it, turn away from it, and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil. And they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble, for they eat the bread of wickedness and they drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. And then one more verse, Proverbs 13, verse 20. Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Thus far the reading of God's word. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God abides forever. By his grace, that's the word that will be preached to you. Let's pray. Lord in heaven, send out your light and your truth. Lead us today as we dig into your word. Help us unpack what is here, not man's ideas, but the truth of you, our creator and redeemer God. And Lord, equip us for the year ahead. We pray this in Jesus' name, the strong name of our great high priest who lives and prays for us. Hear us for his name. Amen. If someone came to you and said, whatever you want, ask it, and I'll give it to you. Young people, what would you ask for? The rest of you, what would you ask for? Somebody says, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. And what if the person who asked you was God himself, who was able to give you, who has infinite resources, who can really give you what you ask for. Well, that's what actually happened to Solomon. God came to him in Gibeah and said, Solomon, ask whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. And Solomon said, well, Lord, you've shown great covenant mercy, great steadfast love to my father, who walked before you in righteousness and truth, and you kept your promise to my dad David, and now I'm sitting on the throne, and now I'm the king, as you promised my father. I'm a child. I'm not an experienced king. There's a great people that I have to be king over. So, Lord, I ask that you would give me a wise and an understanding heart to discern good and evil so that I can do what is right and execute justice. That's wisdom. It's not just having a lot of head knowledge. It's being able to use that knowledge to discern what's good and bad, what's right and wrong, what's pleasing to the Lord, and to do it in that particular situation in which God has placed you. Now, why did Solomon ask for wisdom? Why did he ask for understanding, for discernment? Well, Solomon's father, David, had taught Solomon that wisdom was the key thing that you need. And so when Solomon was asked, ask for whatever you want, well, he thought, well, my dad told me the most important thing is wisdom, so that's what I'm going to ask for. And so in chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, he remembers, when my father taught me, he said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Don't forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. That's what my daddy taught me. That's the most important thing. That's what I am going to ask for. And Solomon was told that there would be a great blessing if he sought for wisdom from God. His dad had said, prize her, prize wisdom, and she will lift you up. She will honor you. She will embrace you. And the Lord even said to Solomon, because you've sought wisdom and not asked for other stuff, I'm going to give you riches and honor as well because you've sought the most important thing. God's blessings on Solomon's early life were due to the impact of his father's life and his father's wise instruction of him. He who walks with the wise will be wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. And Solomon said, I'm going to walk after my wise father. And as he did that, he himself was also wise. Now, to this promise was added God's additional promise in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 12. God said to Solomon, behold, I have done according to your words. I'm going to give you wisdom. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before you, nor shall one like you arise after you. In other words, God says, I'm going to give you a unique, God-centered wisdom. Like nobody before you, like nobody after you. And so what does Solomon do? He writes the book of Proverbs. He writes the book of Solomon. He writes the book of Ecclesiastes because God said, I'm going to give you wisdom. And so, in the next number of weeks, the next couple of months, we're going to be looking at the wisdom of God from the pen of Solomon in Proverbs, in Song of Solomon, and maybe also Ecclesiastes. And we want to sit at the feet of this wise man who sought wisdom, and we want to say, okay, Lord, I want to walk with this wisdom that you've given Solomon in your word. I want to walk with him so that I can become wise. I want to learn from this wisdom that you have embedded in your word so that I might become wise and not be an associate, a companion of fools who suffers harm.
That's the other flip side, isn't it? He who walks with the wise will be wise, but a companion, an associate who goes along with fools, gluttons, people just who imbibe their own pleasures, they suffer harm. What's a fool? A fool despises wisdom and instruction. A fool is a know-it-all who says, I don't need wisdom from God. So the question is, what impact will your life have on others? What impact will your life have on others because they are walking with you? He who walks with the wise will be wise. Are people going to become more wise because they're walking with you? A companion of fools suffers harm. Are they going to suffer harm because they're walking with you because you're being foolish? What impact will your life have on others this year because they're walking with you? Now, that's an important question for all our relationships, isn't it? It's an important question for our friendships. It's an important question for our family relationships, my brothers and my sisters, my influences, my parents upon my children, or my children's attitude towards my parents, or it's important for you as a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle, right? What influence am I going to have if people walk with me? It's important for husband and wife, right? He who walks with the wise will be wise. Am I a spouse that's influencing my spouse for wisdom? You know, see, we see here the great blessing of living in a godly Christian family and of being a member of a church family where each person is seeking to use their gifts to encourage others. They're seeking to walk in an example and with their words in a way that's leading people to Jesus, to build them up. We learn by following. And so, as the picture there shows of an adult, a parent, a father, lifting up, pointing his finger up to following the Lord, and yet that's where he wants to guide that son, that daughter who's been entrusted to him. We learn by following. Paul said, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. And that's the pattern. That's the pattern. The way to follow Christ is to follow the example of others who are following Christ and who are a little further down the path of learning what it means to confess my sin and to trust in Jesus. They're a little further down that path than I am. So here's the question. Where do you fit in the pattern where more experienced believers imitate Christ and newer believers learn from them to do the same? What would you like God to do in your life to make you a stronger part of that system to help others, to equip you to guide others? That's taken from the material questions taken from the material we're looking at on Wednesday night. Where do you fit in that pattern where more experienced imitate Christ and newer believers learn from them? And there you are on the path. Now, let's picture it this way. There's those at the beginning of the path, and yet they're pointing people to Jesus. And then there's people a little further down the path, and they're pointing to people to walk with Jesus. And there's people even further down. Well, where do you fit? Where do you fit in that? Where are you as far as living a life that's an example to others and pointing others to follow him? Even if you don't have Christian parents, even if you don't have a Christian spouse, the question is still, how can I be wise? How can I walk with a wise God, with a wise Savior, so that those who walk with me, you say, me? Yeah. How can you be walking so that those that walk with you will become wiser and closer to Jesus because they're walking with you? Now, what do you think of when you think of the word impact? I think of a linebacker doing a blitz and getting that guy when he's coming through the hole. Boom, right? That is impact, right? That is impact. And what the Lord is saying here is not a question of whether you'll have an impact on other people's lives. It's not a question of whether you'll have an influence on them, but what kind of influence. You will have an impact. You will have an influence. The question is, what kind will it be? And what kind of influence do you want to impact you? Do you want to be impacted? Do you want to be influenced by walking with a parent, a Christian brother or sister in Christ who fears the Lord? Is that what you want? You want to be impacted by somebody who's really walking with the Lord themselves? He who walks with the wise will become wise. And what is wisdom? Wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of true knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord, the reverence for the Lord, is the beginning of what it means to be wise. When you fear the Lord, you're learning about what he's like, right? You're learning about his character, who he is as the only wise God, our creator. Everything is from him and through him and for him. And this eternal creator is very displeased if you have any other God. Our God, the true and living God, wants no place unless it's first place. That's what it means to reverence him as God, as supreme God, as my Lord, my creator, my redeemer. And he wants you to fear and reverence him so that you'll humbly love him, humbly trust him, and humbly submit to him. You know, and it's not just the Old Testament that talks about fearing God, right? The Apostle Paul in Ephesians, you know, he's talking about your relationships. It's in the section where he's about to talk about your relationships as husband and wife and parents and children and employer and employee. And he says, now, in all these relationships, the key is be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise in the fear of Christ. So he's saying in all your relationships, you need to reverence Christ as God alone, as Lord alone, as Savior alone. And that needs to influence the wisdom with which you walk in all those areas. And so, not just the Old Testament, but also the New, tells us to fear and reverence the Lord. Proverbs 14:27 puts it this way. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares, the traps of death. This past summer, we had groundhogs getting into our garden and eating all our beans. And they started coming back, and the old groundhog came back again. So I finally had to get a trap, and I put apples in that trap. And you've probably had the same experience. There's something you want to trap, right? You put the right bait in it. You want to catch him. Well, this verse is saying that the devil, non-Christians around you, foolish friends, bad influences on social media set a trap for you. They want to get you. And their trap is, well, just do your own thing. Just follow what you want to do. If it feels good, do it. And what can deliver you from that trap? Young people, hear me well. It's not a It's not a question of whether you will fear or reverence or worship something. You will fear, you will reverence, you will worship something. The question is, who will you worship? Who will you reverence? Who will you fear? And when it's more important to you that you buy a certain brand of clothes, when that's more important to you than spending your money wisely or giving your tithes and offering to the Lord, when you're more concerned about what are all the kids going to think if I say this or if I do this, well, then you're in bondage to reverence for men. You're in bondage to the fear of men. You're in the bondage. You're entrapped. You're in the snare. You're trapped by what other people think. And that's not freedom. That is not freedom. Your whole life will be organized around the approval of others. And you know what? What others approve and think of is always changing. That's foolish, isn't it? To be in bondage to what other people think, to what they will approve of, that's irrational, foolish. You're serving a lesser God. And that lesser God, it doesn't have your best interests at heart. It doesn't have at heart for you what is eternally good for you, what's best for you. There's only one thing that can get you out of the trap of fearing what Travis and Lucy and Buster and all the other kids are thinking and wanting. There's only one thing that will get you out of that trap. And that's the fear of the Lord. That's reverencing the Lord. That's reverencing what the living God says. What does it say? The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. That you may get out of the trap that leads to death. The fear of the Lord will make you want to walk. When you reverence the Lord, it'll make you want to walk with Christian parents. It'll make you want to walk with Christian grandparents and fellow Christians in your church family who are pointing you away from themselves to Jesus. When you reverence God, it'll make you want to walk with those who reverence God, who are going to help you on the path of reverencing the Lord. Right? Then you'll want to walk with those that are pointing you upward to Jesus, who is the wisdom of God. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Ooh, isn't that a good one? If anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And that's like the Lord saying to you what he said to Solomon. Ask what you want for. And when you ask for, when you want the right thing, when you want wisdom, God says, I will give it to you. Let him ask of God, and God will give you wisdom. So God's giving you to begin your new year like he gave Solomon. He says, now, you ask me for wisdom, I'll give it to you. And how does God answer? When you ask God for wisdom, he brings you closer to Jesus Christ. You know, we prayed earlier. We sang earlier, it was a prayer too, wasn't it? I want Jesus to walk with me. I want Jesus to walk with me. Well, Jesus, he's the one who's greater than Solomon. That's what he said. Jesus said it in Luke 11. The one greater than Solomon is here. And he was talking about himself. So when we ask for wisdom, the Lord points us to Jesus, who is the wisdom of God. And Jesus, you know, he was ridiculed as being a friend of sinners. And right after he said, you know, they call me a friend of sinners, he said, but wisdom is shown to be truly wisdom by her children. You get that? In Luke 7, he says, wisdom, me, is shown to be truly wisdom by my children. So that when you come to Jesus, he's saying, I change you And you in your life begin to point back to me as the true wisdom of God. You begin to live wisely, and it reflects back on me as the source of that wisdom. You, in your life, demonstrate that Jesus is the true wisdom of God by the way that you live. You show that Jesus is the wisdom of God by walking with him and living in true wisdom. He who walks with the wise will be wise. When you walk with Jesus, it's going to begin to show up more and more in your life. And in chapter 4:18, we read, but the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. So when you're walking with Jesus, it's like you're standing up on a ridge and the sun's coming up and it's beginning to spread. The path of the righteous, walking with Jesus, is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Literally in the Hebrew, it says, the walk, the way to walk shines brighter and brighter. So that path, when you're walking on that path with Jesus, that walk shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Man, that is a promise to take home and put in your pocket for 2023, isn't it? It was true of Jesus. He was the righteous one, the wise one, and he's the light of the world. Remember, we looked 2 weeks ago at how people walking in darkness will see a great light, and then we're told that that light comes when a child is born, a son is given, and his name is the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. You're walking in darkness, and light comes when a child is born, when Jesus comes. He's the light of the world. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Light brings life. He says, I'm the light that brings life. God is light. Christ is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And if we walk in the light, and his light exposes my sin, and I confess my sin, if I walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. We come to Jesus as the light. In him, his sacrifice is enough. His death is enough. I'm cleansed from my sin. And then he transforms me that I might be light. You know, you read through the book of Isaiah, as I've been doing, and there it is. It's talking about Jesus, the light. He's the light in the darkness. He's the Wonderful Counselor. And then as you go further in Isaiah, what does it say? It says, of you, nations will come to your light. Nations will come to your rising, the rising of your brightness. Wow. That's just like Jesus said when he said, y'all are the light of the world. Yeah, he said, I'm the light of the world. But then he said, y'all, you who belong to me, y'all are the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. Y'all are the light of the world. Don't hide your light under the bushel. Y'all are the light of the world. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. You see, that's what Jesus is saying is, I'm the sun. You're the moon. Does the moon have any light of its own? It reflects the light of the sun, right? And he says to you, when you belong to me, when you walk with me, you don't have any light in and of yourself, but you're to be like a moon, reflecting my light, being light. You are the light. You're reflecting my light because you belong to me and you're walking with me. That's quite the promise. Again, if you think back on Proverbs 4, verse 18, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It walks into brighter and brighter brightness until the full day. You think, I don't know, Pastor. You sure you're talking about me? I'm a sinner, Pastor. I'm a sinner saved by grace, but I'm a sinner, Pastor. This is his promise, that when you belong to Jesus, your path will grow brighter and brighter. You will reflect light of Jesus more and more. Why? Because God said the God who began a good work in you will continue that work until Jesus comes. Man, I need that promise. Don't you need that promise? That God who begins a good work in you, he'll continue that work. And your path, your reflection of the light of Jesus will grow brighter and brighter. He says it. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They don't know over what they're stumbling in the dark, fumbling and mumbling. But the path of the righteous, the one that belongs to Jesus, is like the light of dawn. And there the sun breaks over the ridge. And then does it just shine a little bit all day? No, it goes to full sunrise. And that's, he says, that's you. That's you. That's even me. Brighter and brighter until the full day. Now, this is you. And yes, it's true of others around you who belong to Jesus. Yeah, there's still times when the light of your candle flickers and you struggle with your own wisdom and you struggle with your own self-righteousness. But by the grace of God, you're learning some lessons that the Lord taught you in 2022. By the grace of God, you have a better grasp now than you did of the balance between God's promises and my obedience to his commands. You're understanding more and more. Yes, I'm not saved by my works. I'm saved by Christ. I'm saved by grace. But my salvation is not without works. I'm saved by grace. I'm created in Christ Jesus. I'm given new life in Christ Jesus for good works, that I might walk in the works that he prepared ahead of me to do, to walk in. And so you grasp that more and more, that yes, I'm responsible, and yet any light I have is not by my own strength, but by the strength of Jesus, who loved me and gave himself for me. The path of the one that belongs to Jesus is like the light of dawn, and it walks on a path brighter and brighter until the full day. And what will God use? Just in closing, what's one of the things that God will use to fulfill that wonderful promise for you in 2023? Well, one thing that he will use is parents teaching and expecting obedience from their children. Go back to chapter 4. Solomon says, when my daddy taught me, he said to me, I'm going to give you all kinds of options. And I'll whine with you to make sure you do what I want you to do. I'll say to you, Solomon, what do you think? Should we do this? Does he bribe Solomon? Think about this. He says, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Don't turn away from the words of my mouth. Don't go down the wrong path. That's interesting, isn't it? Ted Tripp, in his book, Shepherding a Child's Heart, summarizes it this way. Obedience is out of popularity in our culture. You can find classes that provide assertiveness training. Try to find classes in submissiveness training. Obedience is the willing submission of one person to the authority of another. It means more than a child doing what he is told. It means doing what he is told without challenge, without excuse, and without delay. Often submission means doing what he doesn't want to do, or at least what he doesn't want to do at the moment. Wow. So what does this mean? It means when we slip as parents and we begin to to train children to obey only after we've said it the third time or after we put on our mean voice. We got to go back to them and say, yeah, I shouldn't have waited to insist that you obey after I said it the third, fourth, fifth time and after I finally yelled at you. You know, we got to go back and take them aside and start again. You know, when I call you for supper, it's not appropriate that you say to me, I want to do this first. That's not appropriate. It's not appropriate to say, well, I'll come after I do this first. No, nor is it appropriate that you just ignore me. No, when I call you for supper, you need to put down your Legos, you need to put down your book, you need to put down your game. And you can appeal to me. You can appeal to me. You can say, you know, I only have one paragraph left and the other rest of the family isn't here yet. Can I just finish this one paragraph? You can appeal to me. Yeah. But after you appeal, if I say yes or no, you know, that's got to go. That's got to go. Because you're learning to submit to my commands when they are good and honorable and righteous. It's teaching you that there's a God that's wanting me to teach you this. And I'm trying to obey him. And I want you to walk with the God that I'm walking with. Jesus went home when he was 12 years old. And he submitted. Jesus, the sinless one, submitted to his own mommy and daddy. Luke chapter 2:51. And David said to Solomon, keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom. Don't turn away from the words of my mouth. Now, that's a little different than the world around us, isn't it? Isn't that different? The commands, the holiness, the righteousness of God's commands are different. But also the blessings and the promises are different. This is different than pop psychology, right? It's different than the school classrooms, right? They let you keep your cell phones on even though the rules say no, right? But wouldn't you expect God to be different than the world? Yes. This is light from heaven. This is truth from heaven. This is wisdom greater than Solomon. And it's wisdom that leads us straight to Jesus. And it leads us straight to heaven. It leads us to that land where Jesus himself is the light. You don't need any electricity. Where Jesus himself is the light and you don't need any other candles. The Lamb himself is the light. This is truth that leads to the brighter and brighter day when all will be glory. Let's pray. O Lord in heaven, we look forward to that day when there will be no longer any night, no need of the lamp or of even of the sun, for you yourself will illumine heaven. Lord in heaven, help us to walk in the light from heaven that you have given us for today, this week, this year. And grant us grace to be those people, those men, those women, those boys and girls, that when others walk with us, they're walking toward Jesus, who is our light. Lord, we pray this in the strong name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Let's respond to the teaching of God's word with a prayer.